Last month, my fiancée Faye and I went to her parents' cabin up in Pikes Peak, Colorado, and had a set of extremely weird and terrifying experiences. We found an old dreamcatcher on a tree in the woods out back, and at night, we heard a series of unsettling voices calling out from the forest. At first, we thought someone was messing with us. But then the voices began to take on recognizable traits. We heard Faye's grandfather calling out for help. He's been dead since 2012. And my mother laughing. She lives 700 miles away. Faye got sick and began talking in her sleep. And at one point, the voice of a woman outside began to repeat some of the things Faye was mumbling, as though they were communicating. I documented this entire experience and received overwhelming support from many of you. Thousands of people have gotten involved with helping us out. Everything has been going really great. Up until a few days ago. I'm sorry I haven't posted about this matter in a while, but Faye and I have been trying to forget, especially with her weird sleep disorder. The best course of action for us was to try to bury what had happened and move on with our lives. The more upset or stressed out she becomes, the more she sleepwalks and sleep talks. And that is when scary things happen. For those of you who haven't heard the prior stories, my fiancé has suffered from extensive sleep disturbances since she was 5. She has night terrors and is an accomplished sleepwalker. At the request of many of you, I've interviewed her, so you can hear all of her weird experiences. Long story short, some sort of entity became fixated on her while she was at that cabin in Colorado, and made several attempts to coax her into the woods. When those attempts failed, it came after me. It followed us home to California and tried to get into our house late at night by communicating with Faye while she was sleepwalking. We were both exposed to whatever it was, to the point that it made us ill. A family friend, Nathan, essentially forced us to puke our guts out into a spiritual purging process. Although, I wish he'd told us first because we destroyed my living room carpet. We thought it was over. Faye went back to normal and returned to her playful, funny self. She got her strength back. Not just physically, but the strength of her personality returned as well. She's been feisty. Won't put up with any of my shit, which was a great sign that she was feeling better. And she's been wearing her engagement ring. Hasn't left her finger since we got back. But 2 nights ago, weird things started to happen. I absolutely dread writing this because I know that by paying attention to it, I risk exacerbating the situation. The part of the carpet where we'd lost our lunch is permanently stained and rather dark because I couldn't afford to get a decent carpet cleaner out in the time. When we were watching, crying through the new Game of Thrones on Sunday, Faye pointed out that the stain looked like the shape of a man. About 3 foot long and basically looks like some kind of two-dimensional troll. We made some Rorschach jokes about it and then went to bed. I rolled over in the middle of the night and put my hand on Faye's back. And the second I touched that empty space in the bed, 1,000 horrible thoughts rushed through my head. Faye hadn't sleepwalked since things settled down, and I feared this was an omen that our visitor had returned. I found her downstairs. She was sitting in the dark, spine straight, right in front of the TV. It was off. Her eyes were closed. She was running her fingers across the stain on the carpet, whispering to it and giggling. I raced over and threw the lights on, forgoing my rule of never waking her up abruptly from a bout of sleepwalking. I just didn't want this to be happening again. I couldn't accept it. And just before I shook her awake, she said, "How could I forget?" She came to. I had no idea where she was. She seemed unusually upset that I had woken her up, as if she were in the middle of a very good dream, but then appeared frightened when I told her what was happening. I asked if she remembered anything, but she said no. I can't tell if she lied to me. On our way up the stairs, she inexplicably vomited all over the wall. It was the same dark brown black color as when Nathan had poisoned us. At this point, I was completely freaked out. I tried to keep my cool and helped Faye into bed, got her some water, made sure that she was all right. She was absolutely fine. Couldn't explain why she puked. Then I shut off the light, closed the bedroom door, and spent about half an hour trying to clean the goddamn wall off. I've mentioned in my previous posts that I'm an emetophobe, so cleaning vomit is basically the worst form of punishment I can imagine, but something Something distracted me from the horrid stench. No matter how hard I scrubbed, the stain would not come out, and it had splattered roughly in the shape of a man. Because of the fact that Faye was standing halfway up the stairs and barfed down the wall, this time the stain was much larger than the one on the carpet. Almost 6 feet tall. When I finally got in bed, Faye was still awake. It was kind enough to give me a really nice shoulder rub as I lay there in a heap. I was nauseated, terrified. She tried to reassure me, but we both knew what was happening. Whatever it is that's fascinated with her, it's back. Or it never left. I don't know how long we sat there talking, but eventually I passed out. Faye lying in my arms. She said a few more things in her sleep, but I could never quite catch them. I was just too tired. The next day I tried to reach out to Nathan, but he wasn't answering his phone. I had to work, so I didn't see Faye all day, and I got home before she did. So I spent several hours jumping at every sound outside while I graded my students' final papers. When she did get home, she said she'd felt sick all day and just wanted to go to sleep. So she went upstairs and showered, and got into bed. Around 10:30 p.m., I shut off my laptop and headed upstairs. Faye was sitting on the bed, feet on the ground, staring out the open window into the woods across the street. I gently laid her down, rubbed her back until she snored. It's the only way to guarantee that she won't get up for a long time. I inspected the whole house. I don't know if I'm just freaking myself out or if I'm tired, but the vomit stains seemed bigger now than they were before. I'm calling a guy tomorrow to come and do a professional cleaning, and I'm pissed because I know I'm going to get stuck with a $200 bill for the job. I checked the backyard and didn't see anything, then made sure that the front door was locked and all the windows were sealed tight. The last window I checked was the one in the guest room. The one in which Faye had hand-drawn the number 5 backwards while sleepwalking. I stood there for a long time. It was late and dark, and all the memories of last month's events just kept cycling through my mind over and over. I felt dizzy and sleepy, almost hypnotized. It was a strange feeling, of ineffable mixture of strange relaxation and terror. Can't explain to you why I did this, but without even thinking about it, I reached out my hand and lazily drew a backwards 5 on the window. And in that tiny little moment, I saw something move behind the trees across the street. Faye abruptly burst into sleep laughter from down the hall as I walked back to the bedroom. In the dark, I could hear her giggling the entire way. And nothing else to report for now. It's 10:30 p.m. on a Tuesday as I write this. I'm gonna go to sleep. And I will update if there's any new developments. I pray there aren't any. Now, a lot of you have mentioned that since I retrieved Faye's ring from that creepy dreamcatcher, it's possible that it's been cursed. After all, the ring was given back to me. It could have been what's causing the new disturbances around the house. So Faye and I have decided to take that long trek back to Pike's Peak from whence the evil ring came and destroy it by throwing it into that mine at the top of the mountain. We've gathered a few fellowship of 7 other people to help us on this journey. I'm kidding. But seriously, a lot of people have speculated that the ring is now the problem. I'm taking this into consideration, but Faye is not willing to part with it right now, seeing as how she just got it back. And if the entity seeking Faye did curse the ring and got me to break the dreamcatcher to retrieve it, it is even more clever than I could have anticipated. More on this if I decide to make a move. We had a professional carpet cleaning service come out yesterday and try to tackle that puke stain situation. The guy told me over and over, that's not vomit. I can get vomit out. It took him a long time, but he finally managed to get most of the stain off the carpet in the living room. And recommended that we get checked out at the hospital. I told him that we already had. Some parts of the carpet were still spotted and ruined. He gave me a discount. The wall in the stairwell is another story. The guy took one look at it and said we need to paint it. But I insisted that the stain had to be removed before doing so. He told me to strip and sand the wall, or he could come back and do it on his day off for a small fee. I told him I'd take care of it. He made an exorcism joke and left. I wasn't amused. Faye came home very excited yesterday. She got a promotion at her job. We celebrated by going out to dinner at our favorite steakhouse, and she ordered her normal meal, thank God. I had a few drinks. I don't drink at all. So I was the DD for the evening. When we got home, we pretty much went right to bed, and on the way up the stairs, she drunkenly said, "Fuck that guy," and pointed a lazy hand at the stain on the wall. That night, I had a very strange dream. I dreamed that I was trying to scrub the stain off the wall, just like I had a few days ago. But this time, I was scrubbing in the dark. Moonlight was just barely seeping through the window and illuminating the outline of the stain, which looked more like a man than ever had before. I loomed over it as I crouched there on the stairs, but then something weird happened. The wall underneath the stain turned mushy like oatmeal. It gave way to my hand. My arm went right through the drywall. When I tried to pull it out, there was a faint light coming from the hole. I pushed more and more on the squishy wall. It crumbled and plopped onto the floor on the other side, and at last I cleared away a hole big enough to squeeze through. It led into a familiar place. I realized where I was the second I stepped in. It was freezing cold. Even in the dream, I was in the cellar of the cabin where I'd found all those jars and that hair, where I'd found the pieces needed to make more dream catchers. I felt instantly afraid and turned around to go back into my house, but the wall was sealed shut. The only way out of the cellar was through the open panels at the top of that wooden staircase leading to the outside. Snow was falling down into the stairs. I remember seeing something on the ground behind one of those shelves. I picked it up and instantly recognized its importance. It made me feel like I understood everything better. But before I could see what it was, I was woken up by Faye. We were still in bed. She was sitting up against the pillows, running her fingers across my neck and back. She looked down at me, smiling, but her hair was dangling in such a way that it obscured her face a little. And the moon lit her up from the window behind her, so she looked different. I recognized my fiancé's hair and body, but her face looked old and weathered, like an old man's. At that point, I noticed her hand felt different, too. It was rough and heavy, like a guy's. It took me a second to realize that she was probably asleep, so I sat still and just watched. After a few moments of this, she abruptly got out of bed and walked to the door, mumbling to herself about that sound again. I followed her quietly, wondering what she'd do. She walked through the hall, never searching for the light switch, and stood at the top of the stairs. She started whisper-arguing with something down there in the dark. Like when a couple is bickering in public, but they're trying to hide it. She said, "You need to leave. You need to get the fuck out of here and never come back. I don't know any of them. I don't know anybody. Is that you? Who's with you? Who's making all that noise? Just gonna stand down there and call my name all night? Why don't you come up here then? Think I don't know what you're doing?" It's the last thing she said.
"We don't know! Leave us alone!"
She shouted it so loud that it took me off guard and momentarily paralyzed me with fear. I rushed over and grabbed her before she could fall down the stairs. She told me to get off of her and that she didn't need help, and then she brushed past me towards the bedroom. Along the way, she vomited. I got to spend another hour trying to clean that up while she slept soundly, and guess what? New stain. It wasn't until writing this that I realized. The stain has been making its way closer and closer to the bedroom. This morning before work, I talked to Faye about what happened. She had no recollection of any of it, including barfing up her expensive dinner. But she did say that she heard several voices outside the house early this morning. She said there was a child calling out, "Where is she? Where is she?" and a man grumbling angrily. But she couldn't make out his words. She also said that I was talking in my sleep this morning, which is something I almost never do. Faye agreed to seeing the doctor again because of the vomiting, and mentioned to me, after reading some of the comments, that hypnotism might be a good thing to try. So we're looking for one in our town. More on that if anything develops. Also, her older sister, Becca, is going to come to town in a few days to visit us and see how things are going. Becca lives in Arizona with her husband, an infant son, so I've only ever actually met her a handful of times. It'll be nice having some extra people in the house for once. In other news, Nathan is still not returning my calls. so I might try the ranger tonight. I also want you all to know that it's finals week, both for me as a graduate student and for the undergraduate students that I teach. I might not be able to update every day like I usually do. If I'm missing for a day or two extra, don't be alarmed. Keeping a close watch on Faye. I have one last thing to report. Today at lunch, I put my head down in my office and drifted off for a few minutes. This is also unusual for me because I'm a chronic insomniac and don't take naps almost ever. But I had another dream. Tiwi came to me. For those of you who don't know, Tiwi was a Native American man who lived near Pike's Peak. He and his son, Nathan, blessed our cabin and helped Faye and me in our struggle last month. He died in the woods, under mysterious circumstances, during my last night at the cabin. In the dream, I was looking out of our bedroom window, and Tiwi was standing at the tree line across the street. And it was really him, not the creature that did a horrifying impersonation of him. He was pointing into the forest. I think I'm supposed to go in there. But I don't know whether I can trust my own dreams anymore. Amen. That's where the imposter hides.